Thank you for tuning in today. We want to go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to bless the broadcast today. Lord, we thank You, Lord, that we have the opportunity to teach and minister Your Word. Now anoint our lips, anoint our minds, anoint those that will receive it, their hearts and their spirits and their minds, that they may receive it on good soil. And God will give You the praise for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Want to teach on the subject today, what is the resurrection? And we want to go unto the Luke, the 13th chapter, and verse 3 through verse 5. And I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Verse 4 states, are those 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? Verse 5, I tell you, nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. It's clear by the Word of God that if we are going to get anywhere with God, we've got to repent. The whole key to this thing, before salvation, we have to acknowledge our sins and repent. After salvation, when we are quickened by the Spirit, chastised by the Spirit, then we have to repent, or we shall all likewise perish. That's the Word of God. Then in 2 Peter, in chapter 3, and in verse 9 reads to this understanding, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, were not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He goes on to explain, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. There again, it's obvious that God is calling men to repentance, and God wants us to repent before the day of the Lord, because it's going to come as a thief. I'm not going to get any notice. It won't be in the newspaper. The news commentators won't be announcing it. It's going to be instantaneously and without warning. So we need to make sure we got a clear slate with God. Now we're going to look to John in the 10th chapter in verse 27 through verse 30. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hands. My Father, which gave me them, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my hands. Here God is explaining how, by the Word of God, that through Jesus Christ, we are saved and we are given eternal life. We never have to worry about God losing us. He will keep us. The issue is what we do on our part. Our salvation is conditional unto whether we live a holy life or not. And I know that really rattles some people because they've been taught it's unconditional. Sin all you want to, do all you things you want to. But we must understand God's part is eternal, but our part is subject to what we do. Now, people go back and say, well, it's by works instead of grace. No, we're saved by grace unto good works. The thing should be that we understand that right off the get-go. Unto good works. If we produce bad works, we produce ungodly works and ungodly deeds, then we're going to be like the tree. We're going to be hewed down, and we're going to be cast in the fire and burned. And that's plain. We must repent for God's plan to work. Then verse 30 explains, I and my Father are one. In John 11:25-27, we find these words. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. There in verse 25, Jesus said, I am the resurrection, and I am the life. Understand that he had the power to get up. When they put him in the tomb, he fulfilled that which he said 3 days and three nights. So shall the Son of God be in the heart of the earth. But on the third day, he was going to resurrect. He was going to get up. No tomb could encamp him. No grave could hold him. Death could not sting him because he was the resurrection. All leaders, you go to their tombs, you will find the remains, their carcasses, their whatever remains of them. But when you go to the tomb of Jesus, it was empty. The stone had been rolled away, and as the angel of the Lord said, Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He has risen. He had that resurrection power. There will be several resurrection according to the word of God. But in Revelations 20 and verse 5 and verse 6, it explains this understanding. But the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. That is the resurrection of those that are appointed unto life, and they are of the first resurrection. Now, over in this same chapter, chapter 20 of Revelation, in verse 12, it gives the other side of the spectrum. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the book were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books, according to the works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead and which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Now that's the part of the resurrection of the dead. And verse 15 said, And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's those that's never been saved. That's those that had been saved and backslid and were judged out of the book according to their ungodly works and their ungodly deeds. So it's plain to see we want to be a part of that which Christ said, I am the resurrection and the life. We want to be a part of that first resurrection. I might go on to explain that the resurrection is we're in the time when the Lord calls his church and he comes for his church, and we're called away to be with the Lord. And so shall we, according to the promises of God, we're ever going to dwell with him. Now, in Thessalonians, it gives us an understanding of this. And we'll go there and spend a little time there because I believe it brings out some tremendous points about the resurrection. It goes on to explain in the 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4 and verse 13, But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning which are asleep, that you saw not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus God will bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. We find in 1 Corinthians 15 chapter some further understanding on the resurrection. Verse 50, now this I say unto you, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For the incorruptible must put on incorruption, and the mortal must put on immortality. So when the corruptible shall put on incorruption, and the mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thou sting? O grave, where is thou victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. In Acts 15 and 11, it says these words, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. It's our faith in Jesus and our faith in his plan and his works and his word that we know that we have eternal life abiding within us. Now let's look back in the 1 Corinthians 15 chapter. In the first part of that chapter, we was over in the verses towards the end of it. But now we're looking back in the 12th verse. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is your preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Verse 15, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, who he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then, this is verse 18, they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life we had only hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ raised from the dead and become the first fruit of them that sleep. For it said, this is verse 21, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Verse 22 says, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Verse 23, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruit after they that are Christ at his coming. Now we want to look at Acts, the 26th chapter in verse 23. That Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should raise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. Time gets away from us, but I want to close with these three scriptures. In John, the 5th chapter in verse 29, and shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Then in Acts in chapter 24 in verse 15, and have hope towards God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. Then in closing, in the final verse of the third chapter of Philippians in verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. These are powerful scripture. Paul's statement that he wanted to be made conformable unto his death, and he wanted to know the power of that resurrection. Thank God for the resurrection. Lord, we ask you in the name of Jesus, as this message of teaching, Lord, has went out, let people realize first they need to repent. They need to become partakers of Christ, accept him, be born again, and live a life that is good, and repent of all their sins, that they may be made partakers of the resurrection of life. God, would you grant this, and we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.